Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Indiana gets a much-needed win and their first true road win of the season on Saturday at Nebraska. We'll talk lots about that. Some good high school basketball over the weekend as well. Probably nothing better than the finish to the Jeffersonville at Floyd Central game on Friday night. Jacob Jones of the Red Devils had the game-winning three-pointer, an awesome crowd, an awesome environment, and a big shot for Jones and Jeffersonville in another very close game in that circle of Jeff, New Albany, Floyd Central, which is extra exciting when you think ahead that these teams could all meet again in the postseason. So a good weekend of basketball all around, plenty of talk to talk about today and this week, and just a reminder as we get started today that we do this each week here on the Big X Sports Radio, each day, I should say, 11 a.m. is the live show. If you miss us at 11, catch us at 3 o'clock. It's a replay. And then, of course, we always are available as a podcast. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two free apps that you can catch us on your convenience, at your convenience. But no matter how you're with us today, very glad that you're joining the program. And a lot to get to. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we always start the program with our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday. We'll take a look at some of the details from IU and Nebraska and the big Hoosier win on Saturday. We'll also talk some high school basketball. We'll talk more about that last second shot of Jacob Jones and the Red Devils' big win on the road over a good Floyd Central team. And some of the other impressive moments or impressive notes from over the weekend of high school basketball as well. We'll cover that and more coming up in our Zaxby's headlines. And also, Archie Miller found some time over the weekend to recruit. We'll tell you where he was at coming up here in just a few moments as well. Later in the show, as always, on Monday, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Zach was at the IU-Nebraska game covering things for the Star, and we'll recap that game with him and also look ahead to the week ahead for this Indiana team. And lots to break down from that game, and I think that you could say some positives. Now, as you look back over the last few Indiana games, it's not been great. We definitely all know the struggles of this Indiana team, but I do think some positives moving forward. Going to be interesting to see now how Indiana responds from this road win and if they can continue to build on a little momentum, I think, that's going on with this team. Maybe a little better shooting, especially in the first half on Saturday, going on with this team. So we'll talk that with Zach Osterman, who's with us on Mondays. Later in the show, Chad Gilbert is with me. Always fun, especially Mondays, when Chad is with us, because lots of good stuff coming out of the weekend locally to talk about as well with high school hoops. And Chad, a former coach in the area, he's Charlestown's athletic director. He's also an IHSA executive board member. He joins us coming up here in just a bit. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Don't forget also, listeners, you can interact with the show, submit a comment or a question. It might get read on the air today. You can find me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there. Maybe you've got a question or comment about the Hoosiers for one of our guests. We'll take a look at it. Also on Facebook, follow the show. We have a page, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook, and you'll find show updates there and links to podcasts and other things as well. But you can also send us a message there, and perhaps, again, it'll get read on the air, used as a question on today's show. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Nice win and a really nice first half performance for this Indiana team as they go on to win 82-74 at Nebraska on Saturday. Nebraska got off to a good start, led by as many as 8 or 9 early on. Indiana was able to bounce back. That's been encouraging to me, even in the Rutgers loss. Indiana, when they got pounded on early, I think it was 12-0 against Rutgers the last game, they were able to bounce back. There have been games where Indiana's never recovered from a run like that, whether it was at the very start of the game or maybe into the game a little bit. But nice to see Indiana now in back-to-back games, won a loss at Rutgers, won a win at Nebraska, bounce back from an early deficit, and maybe from not a great start in the game as well. So I think that's a positive. Shooting in the first half was definitely a positive. Indiana was far from perfect or far from a terrific shooting team in this game, but they did have 6 3-pointers in the first half. They also were able to hold off Nebraska down the end while still making a number of turnovers. Turnovers and shooting, probably the two big issues with this team. Defense at times has been concerning as well, but Indiana able to hold off Nebraska twice in the second half as the Huskers made some big pushes, big runs late to cut an Indiana lead down to, I think, 8 points in the second half on two different occasions. But Indiana was able to hold on and win. Standout performer, you don't have to look any farther than Trace Jackson Davis. He's had some really good games against Nebraska so far in his career. 18 points, 13 rebounds. Also had 4 assists and 1 block shot on Saturday for Indiana. A great performance for the freshman. If you go back to the first meeting between these two teams played at Assembly Hall, one of those early Big Ten games, Trace had 25 points and 15 rebounds in that opening game. And he's not had his best few games here leading up to this contest. Ohio State did a really good job on him defensively and threw a lot at him, although Indiana was able to use other weapons to win. But good to see him bounce back. He's in that double-double mode perhaps again, and he's been very good, very consistent for this Indiana team so far this season. Also, Justin Smith, 15 points. Joey Brunk, thought he was really good on Saturday, 16 points as well for this Indiana team. And again, I think if you look at Indiana shooting, they're far from consistent, and I don't know that we'll ever be able to say that this team this season is a good shooting team. But they did have a very respectable game, specifically in the first half. And I think right now you got to look for any positives you can get when it comes to this Indiana team and shooting the basketball. So perhaps that is something to build on, specifically the first half performance for Indiana. But their first road win, true road win of the season for this team. They now have swept Nebraska in conference play this year. And we'll see how Indiana does as they move forward from this contest. Some more interesting games coming up for this Indiana team. It's the Big Ten Conference. We know it does nothing as it goes on for this Indiana schedule, at least, but get tougher. Crazy. I'm going to talk some about Penn State, Ohio State here in a moment. So another, I don't want to say crazy weekend, but very interesting weekend in the Big Ten Conference, and plenty to get to on that as well. Also, with a little time over the weekend, Archie Miller taking advantage to go see there's a player at Cincinnati Moeller, Logan Duncombe. 6'9" junior. He has an offer from Indiana, and I actually got a chance to see him play for about a half in person down at that same event Jeffersonville played in over in Cincinnati, Ohio. His Moeller team was playing there. He's really big, really long, and very impressive. Very, very impressive. He can play down low. He can step out on the wing. He can shoot it. And Indiana has been recruiting him fairly heavy now for a while. So Archie Miller on the road in the middle of the season to go watch a player that Indiana interested in that's in the junior class in Logan Duncombe. Also, over the weekend, interesting Big Ten score. Ohio State, let's think about this for a minute. Ohio State beat Penn State by 32 points in Columbus, Ohio in December. That was also one of those early Big Ten games that was played in the middle of the month of December. Over the weekend, that score wasn't necessarily reversed, but Penn State beat Ohio. This was at University Park at the home of Penn State. Not a 32-point win for Penn State, but a 90-76 win for Penn State over Ohio State. So a 32-point loss reverse that into a, what, a 16-point, 14-point win for Penn State at home. Very interesting result there, and tells you that Penn State obviously not at the bottom of the Big Ten Conference, a lot like Rutgers. I think Penn State better than Rutgers, really. But Penn State obviously not at the bottom of the Big Ten Conference anymore, with a nice home win over Ohio State over the weekend. High school basketball over the weekend, nothing better than Floyd Central and Jeffersonville. The crowd was great. The environment was great. We've really been treated to some great games here since the Christmas holidays in some of these big conference matchups and games that are important as far as sectional and kind of placing teams in that. If you were seeding it out in your mind or thinking about some of the future matchups in your mind, great games between Jeff, New Albany, even going back into December, New Albany and Floyd, a pretty good one as well. And the Jeff-Floyd game Friday, no different. Jacob Jones, a three-pointer at the buzzer to lift Jeffersonville to a 49-46 win. Jones had 18 points to lead the Devils over the weekend, or I should say on Friday night. Jeffersonville won two games this weekend. They would come back Saturday to defeat Providence fairly handily at home. But Jacob Jones, that big last-second shot to win it for Floyd Central, for Jeffersonville, excuse me, on the road in a big conference game. It also gives Jeffersonville now, I think, the clear lead in the Hoosier Hills Conference for the race for the conference title this year. Other interesting games this weekend, I think you got to look at Silver Creek, their Saturday game. They went on the road to play at Bloomington North. Bloomington North, really good this season. Before the game, they were just 11-3. And to have a very good club that's competed with some of the good teams in their area, like Bloomington South and like Columbus North as well, some of the good teams from that part of the state. But Silver Creek goes on the road, builds a 23-18 lead at the end of the first period. I think at one point in the game they led by as many as 15 points. Again, this is against a very good 4A basketball team on the road. Silver Creek wins it impressively, 79-62. The Dragons now 13-1 on the season. Big performances for both Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby. Jacoby, 28 points. Kaufman, 26 points. And again, this is a win to me that really stands out for Silver Creek to be able to go on the road and beat a very solid Bloomington North team in the manner that they did. Also over the weekend, New Albany gets two wins over Sharon Wilkerson's Madison team, a solid Madison team on Friday, then back again against Scottsburg, who is making some improvements, I would say, as well. So two wins for the Bulldogs. Some other interesting results out there this weekend. Christian Academy with a win as well over Perry Central in that game. And again, a big weekend of high school basketball as the season really moving along very quickly. Also, a high school football note in coaching ranks. Larry Dennison has stepped down at Providence. I was taking a look this morning at the local programs. Of course, we have eight schools in Clark and Floyd counties that play high school football. And some of the recent years, we've had a lot of movement as far as head coaches go and coaches openings in the offseason. But so far this year, and it's getting about the time where if anybody's going to make a move or make a change or step down from a job, they probably would. This is the first of eight schools, the only activity so far in this offseason as far as a head coach stepping down from his program. Dennison, 53-48, nine seasons. Of course, he succeeded his mentor in Gene Sartini as the head coach at Providence. I think probably the sectional championship in 2017 and three straight championship appearances in the sectional would highlight Coach Dennison's career at Providence. Of course, I am related to Coach Dennison, and I do appreciate all that he did at Providence and also working with us here at the Big X, always on our scoreboard shows and always on our preview shows, and we'll miss working with him. We've got some great coaches both in football and basketball, and he was one of the good ones to work with. So our thoughts to him on a great run at Providence and obviously for all of his help with our programming here at the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program, the Zaxby's headlines, how we start the show each day, taking a look at some of the big news with IU and Southern Indiana sports. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And we'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, we talk IU's win at Nebraska and some of the struggles, even in a win, but also some of the positives as well. And what's next for this Indiana team as we look ahead in their schedule. That and more next with Zach. We still have Chad Gilbert ahead to talk some high school ball and more. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Monday edition of the show means Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Lots to talk about with Indiana basketball coming out of the weekend. A victory on the road for the Hoosiers. And Zach, we still saw some struggles for this team in that victory on Saturday evening, but it was, at least in the first half, a little better shooting Indiana team. And in the second half, a team with some defense behind it that was able to hold off some late attacks from Nebraska when the score inched a little bit closer. Indiana found a way to hold them off both times. Overall, a solid road win in a very tough conference to win on the road, as we've discussed, for Indiana over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, you can't really look any road win in the mouth to – sort of bend and torture a cliche. As you said, it's a conference where, I mean, nobody's winning on the road. Iowa lost at Nebraska. Purdue lost at Nebraska. And, you know, listen, I think Nebraska's going to finish 13th or 14th in the league. I don't think this is going to be a win that appears anywhere on Indiana's NCAA tournament resume or anything like that. It's certainly not positively. But I think number one, like I said, you don't take any road win for granted in the league right now. Number two, you know, there's something to the idea that this team maybe needed to just see itself win on the road to be able to do it in bigger environments with more opportunity in the next couple months. And number three, you know, the as strong as Big Ten is, one of the keys for everybody this year is just avoiding the two landmines, which are Northwestern and Nebraska. Indiana has played now all three of its games against those two teams because it doesn't go to Northwestern this year. And it won all three. And I think it won all three by like a combined 18 points, but it won all three. And so, you know, there are going to be other teams on the bubble or around the bubble from the Big Ten come Selection Sunday that are going to have a loss to Nebraska thrown at them, maybe even a loss to Northwestern thrown at them. Indiana won't be one of those teams, and that's valuable too.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, joining us, talking about Indiana's 82-74 win over Nebraska on Saturday. Trace Jackson-Davis, a couple more quiet games than what he had for most of the season. He had another big game against Nebraska. He had 25 points and 15 rebounds the first time they played. He had 18 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block in the win on Saturday. As a freshman for this team, he continues to do some really big things, and I think we all know that if Indiana's going to have success in the conference and compete for a spot in the NCAA tournament, that while Devontae Green is up and down and in and out, Trace Jackson-Davis has to be one of the more solid performers, even as a freshman for this team.
Yeah, I would really take it a step further. I would just talk about that front court. They combined for, I think, 49 points, I believe it is, and 25 rebounds in that game. I think 8 assists as well. They shot, they attempted 14 of Indiana's 20 free throws in that game. I believe they had 8 blocks, and anecdotally, you know, for example, I don't think Trace Jackson-Davis scored the first 8 or 10 minutes of the game, but Joey Brunk got a lot of points early on. And so anecdotally, you feel like you're starting to see, you know, an understanding of how Brunk, Jackson-Davis, and Justin Smith in particular, because those are the three guys that start together. And you know, obviously they play, I mean, you know, the only guys that arguably come in off the bench in the post are Race Thompson, who plays 8 minutes, to Ron Davis, who plays 6. Those three guys that start, you feel like they're developing a chemistry to understand, you know, who goes high, who goes low, you know, why it makes sense for one guy to be the focus of the post-ups, you know, for 3 or 4 minutes, and it makes sense for the other guy to be moving around the perimeter. Something someone pointed out to me is Trayce Jackson-Davis is actually a very good passer, not just from the post, but when he has the opportunity. And it's not like Indiana asks him to do it a lot, but when he has the opportunity, he's a very good passer from the perimeter as well. And I think Archie Miller, you know, it's been questioned, if not at times outright criticized from fans. You know, this team struggles to shoot the three. This team struggles to space the floor. And it's so easy for opponents, especially an opponent like Nebraska that doesn't have a ton of size to begin with, to go small against you and create mismatches. Why would you play big? I think a game like this is, you know, just kind of the latest thing on the top of a pile of evidence that suggests that actually Indiana's having success this way. They are one of the best rebounding teams in the country at both ends of the floor. That in turn is a big part of the reason why they are progressively getting into the top 40, top 35, pushing the top 30 defensively in efficiency numbers, according to KenPom. You know, I think they have a top 15 block rate. So they're blocking like something close to, in fact, I can just pull it up right here. I'm sitting in front of my computer. As of Monday morning, Indiana's blocking 14.1% of opponent's shots. That's 21st in the country per Ken Pomeroy. And when it works, it even helps your guards because you think of the way that the ball moved. Think of the way the ball moved, frankly, through the post in the second half against Rutgers and got Indiana clean looks. It just wouldn't go down. Then think of the way the ball really moved through the post when Indiana was playing very well offensively in the first half against Nebraska, and Indiana hit 6 threes in that first half. And obviously things dry up a little bit in the second half, and I think people are going to have to get used to the idea that this is, you know, this is going to be an imperfect team all year. I don't think this team is ever going to reach a point where you just say, my God, they've mastered basketball. But I think that the idea, the basic idea of we're going to go big in an era when everybody else wants to go small, and we're rather than worrying about how we match up with you when we do that, we're going to make you worry about how you match up with us, and we're going to leverage our strengths rather than trying to mask maybe some of our weaknesses like guard depth and three-point shooting. I think that's starting to pay off for Indiana. And again, that doesn't mean that I think Indiana is going to win. You know, I mean, how many do they have left? 13. I'm not saying they're going to win 12 out of 13 to end the season or anything like that. But what I am saying is that this team is starting to function the way it was built to. And you are starting, I think, certainly in about the last month or so. And certainly I would say since the Maryland game, without question, you are starting to see improvement that suggests that this team is starting to really grasp its identity at an important time of year, because you are in the thick of the Big Ten race, and also because you don't want to be peaking in January. You want to be peaking in March. And if that's kind of the journey Indiana's on right now, then they're going to be in a good position.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us talking about Indiana-Nebraska over the weekend. A couple final things on the game before we move ahead to what is next for this Indiana team. I thought that off the bench, and I know we've talked about some of the key parts and key players on this team if they're going to find success, but off the bench there were some freshmen and some spark, I think you could say, off the bench for Indiana and their win at Nebraska.
Yeah, and again, that's another one of those things that, you know, how much of it do you get all year? I don't think that we're going to look back and say, my gosh, this is the best, you know, bench we've ever had, but I think that one of the advantages that, frankly, you get out of moving Devontae Green to the bench is that gives you a player who, and listen, Devontae Green didn't have the best game in the world at Nebraska. He was, I'm reading a stat line out, 1 of 6 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 turnovers. I mean, that's a, you know, kind of solid everywhere except in scoring. But moving Devontae Green to the bench gives you an option that when he comes into the game, you know, it forces opposing teams to take notice a little bit. And that can sometimes turn into him scoring, what was it, 19 against Ohio State. Sometimes that turns into providing a window for somebody else to spark you, like Armon Franklin hitting a couple threes, 6 rebounds, four assists, 8 points off the bench. Jerome Hunter hitting a couple of threes. Another good bench performance from him in a slightly more sort of limited minutes compared to Ohio State. But you still feel like you're starting to see a little bit of just maybe that basketball instinct and that sort of instinctive skill level clicking back into place for him after so much time away from the game completely while he recovered, you know, kind of dealing with his leg condition. And so I don't think we're going to be talking about Indiana's bench as, you know, wildly impactful all season long. But I do think that when you play Devontae Green off the bench, it gives you a piece that you can kind of, you know, put on the board, not from the start, that's going to get an opposing coach's attention and is going to change the way, because however streaky he may be at times and however, you know, frustrating his inconsistency in the eyes of IU fans, the reality is if you're an opposing coach, you also know he's the player that scored 19 against Ohio State. He's the player that hit for 30 against Florida State. He's the player that went wild on Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament last year. You always have to account for that. And so I think that there's kind of a you know, that Indiana has now been able to get Rob Phinisee healthy and get him involved. And he didn't have his best game at Nebraska because of foul trouble, I think, as much as anything else. But because they've been able to do that and really kind of settle on this starting five, that I wouldn't be surprised if kind of this is it, injuries excluded the rest of the way, Smith, Jackson, Davis, Brunk, Phinisee, Durham the rest of the way. It does give you some nice balance with Devontae Green. And credit to Armon Franklin, who I think, if nothing else, has really come to understand what his energy does for Indiana off the bench. It gives you some options off the bench that can change a game, that can spark a little bit, and just kind of get guys going.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, my guest. One final thing about Nebraska before we look ahead to Michigan State. The team had some travel issues because of snow and winter weather, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they weren't the only ones. I actually didn't make it to Nebraska. I got to the Indianapolis airport and 15 minutes later turned around and went home. They were supposed to – so there's a Big Ten rule that says that you have to be at the site of a game 24 hours before it starts, because I think, if I'm remembering the story correctly, the late, great Terry Hutchins told me this. Years ago, there was a Minnesota-Purdue game in West Lafayette, and Minnesota tried to travel day of, and they couldn't get there. Because of a snowstorm, they got stuck in Indianapolis, and the game had to be postponed and made up later. And obviously, you know, when you're essentially already playing 2 days a week in the Big Ten schedule, it's very hard to do that. So the Big Ten passed a rule that said, you know, everyone has to be at the site 24 hours before tip-off. Indiana was scheduled to leave and actually try, I believe, to push its departure up a little bit on the Friday, but Indiana charters its flights. IU doesn't have private planes anymore. They sold them years ago. And the flight, the plane that was supposed to take Indiana to Nebraska, my understanding was it had mechanical issues in Chicago. And then by the time the plane was fixed and fit to fly, the weather had hit Chicago and it couldn't get out. So Indiana wound up leaving Bloomington, I think, at about 10:30 Saturday morning, playing the game and then coming home. I believe they landed around 1 a.m. on Sunday. So it was a single day round trip. And, you know, I don't know if that, you'd have to ask guys, you know, kind of individually and candidly, whether or not that registers in terms of, you know, do you get, I mean, I think there's studies, for example, that suggest you get a much better night's sleep in, you know, a familiar bed than in a hotel room. And, you know, is it always worth it to do this stuff? In terms of sequestering teams away in a hotel the night before a game and that sort of thing. But I certainly do think that anytime your rhythm is disrupted and your routine is disrupted, that can have an impact. And I think Indiana being able to deal with that as much as anything else and get a win at Nebraska is, you know, probably does reflect a little bit of toughness in this team.
Zach, let's talk about Michigan State, Indiana's next opponent coming up on Thursday. It is a home game for the team. Michigan State, 14-4 overall, 6-1 in the conference. An interesting game, an interesting challenge for Indiana, but it's at home, and I think that anytime it's in the friendly confines of Assembly Hall has to give Indiana fans hope that, hey, even though Michigan State's pretty good, I'm not sure they're as good as what we thought initially they might be, but they're pretty good, that Indiana can have a chance in this one.
Yeah, I think, I think Indiana does have a chance in this game. I think that, you know, kind of when you look at, when you look at the ways that you would imagine Michigan, Michigan State will try to hurt Indiana, you think about kind of their ability to finish around the rim. You obviously think about Cassius Winston. You think about how good Indiana is on the offense, Michigan State is on the offensive and defensive glass. They're 20th in the country in offensive rebound rate, 62nd in the country in opponent offensive rebound rate. You know, I joked with a couple people when they asked in the offseason about why Indiana would pursue Joey Brunk as a graduate transfer when it already had Deron Davis, Race Thompson, and Trace Jackson Davis. And I said, I basically made up, I guess, the Tom Izzo rule of always having one more big man than you need, because it always feels like Michigan State is the team that just you think, oh, this guy's hurt, you know, they might have a disadvantage in the post, or wow, this guy's in foul trouble, how are they going to, and it seems like there's always one more big body to come off the bench for Michigan State and be able to pound inside and work your way inside out offensively with good point guard play to kind of orchestrate it all. And I think that that's at least some of what Michigan State's really been able to do this season. Obviously, you're right. I mean, they're maybe not quite what we expected, although I'm not sure who is right now. You know, I mean, the number two team in KenPom's ratings is Duke, who's lost at home to Stephen F. Austin, and I think Clemson as well. I don't know if that was home or away, but they lost recently to Clemson. My point is, I think Michigan State is as good as any team in the country more generally right now. Obviously, Michigan State, it will be fresh in Michigan State's mind that they lost both games to Indiana last season. It should also be fresh in Indiana's mind because, you know, something I wrote today, I'm putting together my weekly Stockwatch feature right now or before we got on this call. Indiana's created opportunity for itself here. It plays Michigan State Thursday at home, then Maryland Sunday at home, then it goes to Penn State and Ohio State. Beating Nebraska, beating Northwestern, clearing those games off the schedule. Indiana's conference strength of schedule, I think, per KenPom is 13th out of 14 right now, largely because of those games and a little bit because of the way the bottom's fallen out on Ohio State. But the point is, you've cleared that off the schedule. Now it's about how much quality you can add. Assembly Hall is usually good for, you know, 6 to 8 points by itself with its atmosphere and its electricity in games like this. Can Indiana take advantage of that and create the opportunity for itself to just start adding some quality wins and maybe getting a little bit of momentum going in a season that has felt kind of choppy, both because of Indiana's performances and also just because of the difficulty of the Big Ten schedule? Get some momentum going for yourself. Build a little bit of that resume. Take a little bit of, you know, whatever tournament pressure anyone might be feeling. Take that off their shoulders, because I just think, you know, I think that now Indiana, as much as it's comfortable being able to do this, can genuinely start to think about the rest of the season in terms of opportunities to be taken advantage of, not, you know, dangers or landmines to be avoided.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us. Great stuff on IU as normal. Zach, as always, thanks for the great insight, and we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Zach Osterman with us Mondays. And Zach is what we call our IU expert on this Monday. On Tuesday, we try to bring you an IU person every day. Mike Pegram. Wednesday, later in the week, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall on Thursday. Jared Morris of The Assembly Call on Friday. And Zach does a terrific job getting the week started, coming out of the weekend with games and so forth. Lots of great stuff in our segment with Zach. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll review some of the local high school happenings over the weekend. Great game. Jeffersonville beats Floyd Central on a last-second shot. Great crowd, great environment. Chad Gilbert joins me next to talk that and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, of course, IHSA board member. He's a former coach and currently the Charlestown Athletic Director as well. Great couple weeks, really, since the new year of high school basketball. And Chad, before we get to that, I know as an IHSA board member, you probably have thought a little bit more than this than most, but Bobby Cox, the commissioner, announcing his retirement coming later this summer as the IHSA boss, and that'll mean some potential changes in high school sports in Indiana.
Matt, good call on that one. Didn't have that in the notes, so that's a good pickup by you. But before I talk about that, I'm going to tell you right now, we're on our way home from Hobby Lobby. Amy said we can make it home, and then you call at 11:45. She says, all of the days Matt wants to give you 15 minutes instead of 8. It's today. So she's happy. She's sitting next to me happy.
All right.
Anyhow, you talked about Bobby Cox. Bobby left a great legacy for the IHSA. That's a tough job. Anytime that someone takes that over, is they have to decide, what are they going to do? Are they going to continue what the previous commissioner did, or are they going to kind of decide that they want to leave their own legacy? So there's a lot of different things that are coming down the pipe. I think Bobby doing this in January gives an opportunity for the board to really dig in and find someone that they feel is best for the state of Indiana right now, and then just kind of decide what kind of goals, where do we want to see sports in the future? Because my personal opinion is there's some tough things coming down, you know, with official shortages, with coaches. Man, if you look at coaches, look at how many people are going into teaching to become a coach. Not many. Teaching is a tough profession. You think about that. You know, you put that right up there with law enforcement. Those are tough professions that might not get the respect that they deserve. And so there, with that being said, there's people who are not going in it, education, and the ones who aren't going in it to coach. So you're seeing fewer and fewer teachers that are coaching now. So, you know, we're at a crossroad here that something's got to give, and hopefully it'll give in the best direction of our student-athletes.
Chad Gilbert joining me. Chad, I know a lot of time goes in your role there as a board member, and obviously lots of big decisions made. Sometimes people really happy, sometimes people not very happy. But one thing I'll say, Bobby Cox has been part of some big changes and some big things for high school sports in our state, and I think we'll go down as a very respected leader of the organization, and I know you've enjoyed your time to work with him. So I wanted to start with that today. We've had him on this radio show a number of times over the years to talk about some of the big issues or to get people excited about the upcoming state tournament and so forth, and I'll miss our conversations. Hopefully we can catch back up with him at least once before his retirement, but a good guy, and I think overall a good guy for high school sports.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, the one thing, if you ever see a press release, how he writes things, he's got that gift that he can put things on paper that come off right. Well, that's how he talks. You know, he speaks that way as well. And if you look at him, you know, he takes pride in everything he does. Everything the IHSA does is first class. If you look at Bobby, you're not going to see him with a wrinkled shirt on. You're not going to see him with a tie that doesn't match. He's always well-kept. He's always first class. He does, and that's the way he treats his job and he treats our students. He's always goes the extra mile to be first class, and I think that's something that definitely the next commissioner needs to keep as well.
Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, let's talk about Jeffersonville. I think you got to say they're in the driver's seat in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Big win a few weeks ago over New Albany. It was a great game, overtime game, and then what a thrilling finish. Jeff beats Floyd on Friday. Jacob Jones, as we've mentioned on this program a couple times today, the hero in that contest. But the Red Devils in the driver's seat in the Hoosier Hills Conference with some big wins here since the first of the year.
You know, what's impressed me with those guys is they've won tough games on the road, games that some people aren't going to win on the road. Look at their schedule. Ballard game looks like it's going to be a pretty tough game. Outside of that, I feel like the Devils are going to be in pretty good shape to win out. But here's what the thing that's impressed me on that one is they have had these tough games on Friday night on the road and had the trap games on Saturday against formidable opponents, Christian Academy and Providence, and handled both of them. So that's the mark of a championship team. That's the mark of a team that's bought in. That's the mark of, you know, you got to give Chris Moore some credit on being able to get those guys in a tough situation that he stepped into to get those guys on board to buy in and have that bounce back game. I think that shows a lot of the character of the players, the will to win, and then the focus of the coaches and able to get those guys to win. So shout out to the coaching staff and the players on that one, because that's not easy to do.
Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, big games coming up the rest of the way. We have some good ones here in the area. And I think the most, as I look forward to things, and I know the same way you do, with the tournament just around the corner, the best thing is when you see a really good regular season game, like the New Albany Jeff game, like the Floyd Central Jeff game, and I know there are others. I saw Christian Academy in Lanesville, which could be a sectional matchup, a very good game over the weekend. But I think the best thing is you see a great regular season game and a great regular season finish in a game, and you know that there's a great potential for those teams at some point to meet in the tournament or in the sectional. And around this time of year, people like us that really follow it, really get into it, you start to think ahead, which can be a bad thing at times, but think ahead about some of these potential rematches in the sectional and what they could be like in Seymour. Just makes you kind of extra excited. I don't know about you.
Oh, no question about it, because you start thinking ahead of what can the draws be. You know, where are you going to play out? Who's going to have to travel? Who's going to match up with this team better than the other teams that match up? And the one thing, you know, I've watched Seymour boys play very much improved. Kirk Manns has done a heck of a job up there. So you don't want to play them on their home court, you know, to start it out for sure. So there's a lot of different variables that go into it, a lot of different situations that can occur. But I tell you, for the fans, it's a whole lot of fun.
Chad Gilbert with me. Chad always with me Mondays as we talk local sports here in Southern Indiana. Another big win over the weekend. I touched on this in our headlines segment today, but Silver Creek, to go on the road to beat a very good Bloomington North team. I followed some of their games and how they've been playing against the Bloomington Souths and the other really good teams in that conference in that part of the state. They are having a tremendous year, and for the Creek to go on the road and win and lead that game in the manner they did just underscores what type of Silver Creek team we've got here in the area and their potential to make a deep run in the state tournament, maybe repeat as 3A state champions. You see scores and results like that, you got to feel pretty strong about what they'll be able to do in March.
Oh, no question about it, man. We talked about all the players that we have in our area. Think about the good coaches we have. We've got some great head coaches around, and I think you got to put Brandon Hoffman right there with any of the great ones in the state. Brandon's taking a situation that's not easy to do. It's not easy to repeat. That's why, you know, you hear about teams, how special it is to repeat. The reason it is because it's so hard to do. And Brandon's got his squad in a position where they have a chance to repeat. Going to Bloomington North, woo, and coming out of there with a win, it's not easy to do. And for those guys to do that, again, I think that goes back to your focus. These are the dog days of high school basketball. The month of January, start of February, it's hard to go to practice. It's hard to play in games. But once March comes around, it's all out. You know, that's all out the door. You bring your best, you bring your A game. So your challenge for coaches right now is to focus and see what you can do to get better in March.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member, joining us. I know that we wanted to give a shout out to a mutual friend and someone that meant or means a lot to the Jeffersonville program, meant a lot to the program also when you were there as the head coach as well, Clark Miles, whose mother passed away last week, and a funeral and those events over the weekend.
You know, that what Clark Miles means to Southern Indiana, not just Jeffersonville, but to Southern Indiana, you know, I put him on that same pedestal as I put you on, someone who always is looking out to do what's best for kids, someone who cares extremely about kids, and in Clark's situation, cares extremely about Jeffersonville, but someone who always has a positive demeanor, someone that will always make you feel good. You know, I was able to stop by the funeral home and see Coach Miles, and in his case, someone who doesn't age. He looks the same as I left 7 years ago. You know, so guys like that, guys like you, those are what make kids' experience special. And those are like cornerstones to program that makes programs special. So condolences to Coach Miles and his family. And then just thank you, Coach Miles, for everything you do for Southern Indiana.
Absolutely. Very well said. Chad Gilbert, my guest, always with me Mondays as we talk local sports here on the program. Chad, we've talked about this many times, especially building up to the season. It's a great time for Southern Indiana sports, for Southern Indiana basketball. As we recap some of these games on Monday, we always talk about some of the big names that, like Jacob Jones, hit a big shot. He's going to play Division I basketball. so many either already committed or being recruited by and will at some point make their decisions over the course of their high school career on where they're going to play. I think back to, you know, even years gone past, the 90s were really good years for Southern Indiana and for basketball. But I think as much as we get excited about what's coming through right now and the potential of those kids, as we think back about it and all the years that you played and that you coach and you've been around, what an area we have with so many great players and great coaches. I was just thinking about this over the weekend after you see Jones hit a last-second shot, after you see Jake Heidbreeder with a couple of big performances, you see Todd Sturgeon, who very, very quickly got his 100th win at Floyd Central, and you think, you know what, it's really not right now that we are excited about. It's all the time. Yeah, there are ups and down years, and there are some really good classes and some okay classes, but this area now for many, many years, very consistently, has been spoiled with great players, great coaches, and great games. And you get to this point of the season, and I know we've talked about the upcoming sectional, just a very exciting time.
Well, you know, the one thing, all those names you said are great. Everyone that you talked about, you know, are special people. There's other people in that same category. And the one thing that they all have in common, Matt, is they are relentless, tireless workers. They didn't get that way easy. All those guys, you know, the hours they put in the gym, the hours the coaches watch film, the hours that they're working to make their program better with their biddy ball system, with their booster clubs, the hours that the coaches or the kids are putting in, not just in the season, but in the off season, whether they're traveling to a travel ball tournament, whether they're working out with a trainer, whether they're working out with their mom, dad, brother, sister, whoever it is. The hours, the commitment, and the sacrifice, not only these players, these coaches, but their families put in, is off the charts. So, you know, that's what makes champions. And in our area right now, we have a lot of people and a lot of programs that are championship material. And I think we're very blessed to live here, and I think we're very blessed to be part of that. And someone in my situations, I've got little kids that I can show them these players, these coaches, and that's what it takes to be a champion.
Chad Gilbert with me Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. Chad, enjoy your MLK day off with Amy and family. Thanks for taking time to still be on the show. Appreciate what you do and for always coming on with us Monday to have some fun and recap local stuff. And we'll look forward to doing it again next week as we inch closer to March Madness and sectionals and lots of basketball. Basketball everywhere here the next few months.
It's knocking on the door, Matt. And, Matt, I just want to tell you thank you for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports and the kids in our area. But one quick thing. Charlestown, Coach Sean Smith returned, got his first win this weekend, so I was excited for him. Our wrestling team won the SIWC wrestling tournament this weekend. So in the words of Coach O, go Pirates.
Chad Gilbert, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap up this Monday program here on the show. Don't forget, back Tuesday, we've got Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, Tuesdays on the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, of course, on IU basketball. We'll talk more about IU Michigan State coming up later in the week and some IU basketball recruiting stuff with Mike when he joins us on Tuesday's show. That's going to wrap things up. Don't forget, check us out as a podcast. If you missed the live show or you want to go back and hear an interview, we're on SoundCloud. We're also on Apple Podcast. You can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can search for us in Apple Podcasts. And if you would, while you're there, leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us catch others that might be interested in a show podcast on IU sports and more. Have a great Monday, MLK Monday. Back tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.